Philippians chapter 2, and I want to pick up at verse 19 of this epistle of love by the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to try and finish from verse 19 all the way to the end of the chapter this evening. Now, if you remember last week, we noted how Paul had encouraged the saints at Philippi to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the heart of a servant, and to do all things without murmurings and disputings and holding forth the word of life. So he gives them some very good exhortations, good advice as to how they are to live their lives as Christians. And today he's going to turn to some practical matters, and he's going to describe two men that were friends of Paul's that he's going to send to them to be a blessing to them in the city of Philippi. Remember, Paul is over 1,000 kilometers away in the city of Rome, and they are in the land of Greece in the city of Philippi. So this is the letter that he's sending to them, and then he's going to send them two friends. But let's just read the section from verse 19 to verse 30 so we get the context. Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son, the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this thy word. Speak to us from this passage. May we learn precious lessons to apply to all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in verse 19, Paul says that he's going to send a man called Timothy. He says, "But I trust," or "it's my hope," or "it's my plan to send Timothy shortly unto you." And Timothy's to go there. He says that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. You know, these are the days before telephones, emails, and Paul says, "I want to send Timothy, and I want Timothy to go there to Philippi, make that long journey from Rome, and I want him to find out what's the state of the church. Are you all well? Are you all growing? Are you all serving the Lord?" And he says, so that Timothy can come back to Rome and give me the good news, comfort me in my pain and in my deprivation in prison in Rome. And Paul says, Timotheus is a man, he says, who I have no man like-minded who will naturally seek for your state. Now, just I want to say in passing first, as you read this chapter, as you read Paul's letters, and if you've ever got time, go to Romans 16 and read through Romans 16 at the end of the epistle to the Romans. And as you read that, and you read this epistle, you'll see lots of names mentioned. And the names, although they're not familiar to you and I, because We don't know Greek and we don't know Latin particularly well, and it's just translated into English. If you study it in the original languages, you'll discover some of the names are Hebrew names, Jewish names. Some of the names are Latin, Roman names. Some of them are Greek names. Some of them are names of slaves. Some of them are names of noblemen, rich people. And what does it tell us about Paul? It tells us that this man had friends. He had Christian friends. He had people that he knew personally. He took an interest in them. And despite him being in prison, despite his busyness, despite all the pressures that were on this man, he always took time to think of others. He always took time to say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, this couple, Aquila, Priscilla, this slave, Onesimus, this nobleman, businessman, Philemon, or this friend of mine, Epaphroditus, he's sick and I want you to remember him and pray for him. Always throughout Paul's letters, he's naming people. And he's saying, they're my friends. I care about them. I'm concerned about them. And that tells us a lot, doesn't it, about the Apostle Paul? That tells us that you can be a great theologian, a great preacher, a great leader, and he was all of those things, but still have a warm heart for people, still have a kind heart for people. And you notice as you read Paul's letters, his friends cross all the spectrum of society. He doesn't just be friends with the rich or the Jews. He's friends with the Gentiles. He's friends with the Romans. He's friends with the prisoner. He's friends with the nobleman, Philemon. He's friends with the slave, Onesimus. All of these people are his friends. And that's the way the church should be. That's the way you and I should be. We should be willing to be friends with everybody within the body of Christ. We should see them as people, that lives that we can touch. And we should never divide on any of these other issues like race or social status or education or background. Paul never did. Now, if Paul wanted to divide from people on all of those things, I mean, he was the cream of the crop, wasn't he? He was the intellectual of his day. He was the greatest apostle. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was from a race of people that considered themselves superior to all the other races on the earth, the Jewish people. He was called Saul after Israel's first king, and he had a lot to be proud of, humanly speaking. And yet Paul was friends with everybody who came into his companion, into his circle of influence. Now, I don't want to go any further than that, but just leave it at that point and move on and say, here's the first one that we meet that was his friend, Timothy. And I want you to see how he describes Timothy, because even the fact that he's friends with Timothy, but then how he describes Timothy tells you a lot about Paul and his character. And he says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So Paul says, in the work of God and in life, you'll meet two types of people. You'll meet a man who is self-serving, and you'll meet a man or a woman who is serving others. Those are the two types, Paul says. And Timothy is one of those who serves others. In fact, Paul says he naturally will care for your state. He doesn't have to be told, Timothy. He doesn't have to be guided into behaving this way. When he comes into your fellowship, when he comes into your home, when he comes into your church, he will naturally seek to help others. That's just his character. That's just his way. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we had people like that in our church? Wouldn't that be wonderful if there were people like that in our office, in our school, in our homes? Wouldn't that be wonderful if it was said of you that you naturally just care for other people? You don't have to be told. You don't have to be encouraged to be that way. It just flows out of your life. And Timothy, or Timotheus, as he's called here, as just the Greek translation of the word Timothy, Timothy really was a servant. He really was a kind-hearted. And let me put it in a very blunt way. Everybody here serves somebody. You either serve yourself, that's the person you serve, or you serve others. You have to make that choice. And Timothy made the choice to serve others, like the Apostle Paul. And that's why Paul says of Timothy, I have no man like-minded. The idea of the word like-minded is he has the same ideas as me. When he sees others, he has the same desires towards them. When Timothy goes on the journey and he sees what's going on at Philippi, he will see what Paul would see if he was there. He will think what Paul would think if he was there. He would react as Paul would react if Paul was there. In other words, Timothy is a junior version of the Apostle Paul. That's really what he is. And Paul says, I'm going to send him to you. I'm going to send him to Philippi because I can trust this man. He has learned the art of putting others first. Now, let me make a statement. You and I cannot choose our circumstances. God chooses our circumstances. Is that right? We have to work with the circumstances God puts us in. We have to work with the country that we are put in. We have to work with the family we're born into. We have to work with the way we look and the way our intellectual state is. We have no control over any of those things. Those are the circumstances Providence places us within. But there is something we can choose. We can choose who our closest companions are. Isn't that right? And Paul here says, I want to talk to you about two of my closest companions, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Now, there's an old saying, isn't there? You know the character of a person by their friends. There's another saying, you also know the character of a person by their enemies, who is against them. And the fact that these two men, Epaphroditus and Timothy, have such great hearts for others, says a lot about the Apostle Paul, doesn't it? That those are his closest friends. Those are the two names that spring to his mind that he wants to send to Philippi. He wants to send them to serve the people in Philippi. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Who are your closest companions? Who are your friends? Who are the people that you like to share with, hang out with? Are they the gossip? Are they the carnal? Are they the trivial? Are they the one who just wants to talk about all the things of the world? Or are they individuals who help you, encourage you, spend time praying for you, thinking about your needs? And Paul says, these two men are my friends, and I want to share them with you. And then he says in verse 22, a little bit more about Timothy, ye know, or you know, the proof of him. Now, this word proof means fire tested. He says, Timothy has been tested in the fire of suffering, the fire of trials, the fire of difficulties. And you in Philippi, you know that this is a man who has proved himself to be faithful in the good days and in the bad days. Now, isn't it interesting that Paul does not select Timothy based on his academic background? You notice that? He doesn't select Timothy based upon his wealth. He doesn't select Timothy based upon his good looks or youth. He says, I am sending Timothy to you because I proved him. He's faithful. He can be trusted to do the right thing. And he says, as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. Now, notice that little word, with me. Paul says, the reason I know that Timothy can be trusted is that his heart is united to my heart, and his labor is with my labor. He works with me. He carries the burdens with me. He serves with me others as we try to reach others with the gospel. And I would say this to you. If you're looking around for friends, if you're looking around for life partners, look for people like that. Look for people who have character. Because when the crisis of life comes, it will be character that will last. Isn't that right? That'll get you through. That'll stand with you. Now, verse 24, Paul says something further. He says, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." He says, "I also want to go to Philippi. I'm hoping that maybe I'll be able to go to Philippi soon as well and see you all." That's really what he's saying. But notice something as you read these verses that we have read from verse 19 to verse 30. You notice that Paul is not presumptuous in all of these things. He keeps saying in verse 23, "Him therefore I hope to send presently." You notice that? Verse 24, "I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." He says about Timothy in verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy." What's he saying there? He's letting you and I know that Paul has these plans. He has these desires to send Timothy to them, to go to Philippi himself. But he keeps just reminding them and himself that all his plans are subject to God's final approval. You notice that? Keeps bringing it up over and over again. And that's something you and I must always remind ourselves to do. Yes, make plans for your future. Yes, make plans for your career. Make plans for your business. Make plans for your family's education. Make plans for all of these things. Nothing wrong with it. But always keep reminding yourself, if God wills, if God wills, if God permits. Someone once put it this way: write all your plans in pencil and leave God the eraser to change them if he wants to change them. That's a good way of putting it, isn't it? Let God erase them if he wishes to. And if you do it in pencil and not in pen, the pain of him erasing it will not be so much, the difficulty. And Paul was someone who was never presumptuous. Yes, he wanted to go to Philippi. He really hoped to go to Philippi. And he really wanted Timothy to go there to bless the people at Philippi. But he just kept saying, if God wills, God has to have the final say here. God's in control of this matter. And God makes the final choice. Now, verse 25, he talks about another person, a man called Epaphroditus. He says, "Yet I suppose, or I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." And then he describes Epaphroditus in a number of ways. He says, "My brother." Well, we would expect him to say that. He's a brother in the Lord. But then he adds some more descriptions: "Companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger." Now, isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul, even though he's an apostle, even though he's the guy who planted all these churches, including the church at Philippi, he pays great tribute to this man Epaphroditus. He wants them to see Epaphroditus as Paul's equal, my fellow laborer. It's not, "Oh, I'm Paul and this guy just helps me every now and then," or "this guy is works for me. This guy is just my servant." No. Paul wants everybody to know, this man's my companion. This man's my fellow soldier. This man has to be honored and respected. Now, I'm sure Epaphroditus didn't have a fraction of the talents and gifts that Paul had. I'm sure Epaphroditus never achieved a fraction of what Paul achieved. He never wrote a book of the Bible, did he? Paul wrote 14. But yet Paul has a big heart for this man, Epaphroditus. He loves this man. And he wants everybody else to revere him, respect him, and honor him. And that says a lot about the Apostle Paul. Now, he says of Epaphroditus, "He that ministered to my wants," my needs. Epaphroditus took time to help Paul in prison, minister to him. Now, we don't know what that means, whether he brought him food, whether he brought him letters, whether he sent letters for him, whether he brought him medicine or whatever. We just don't know. But he says of Epaphroditus, verse 26, for he longed after you all. That's the ones in Philippi. He was thinking about you and was full of heaviness, full of sorrow, because ye had heard that he had been sick. And this is an amazing thing about this guy, Epaphroditus. He was worried that they would be worried for him. Isn't that interesting? Paul says, this guy is worried because he's heard that you've heard that he's sick and you would be concerned about him. What a heart this guy has. What a man he is. What a character he is. And Paul says, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. He was almost at the point of death, Epaphroditus. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Now, here's something fascinating about Epaphroditus. He's a man who worked himself to the point of death. We have this expression in English, you work yourself to death. You've heard people say that. He or she worked himself to death. Well, most times we don't mean they literally died. It's just an expression of saying they worked very hard. Well, this guy, Epaphroditus, literally did almost work himself to death. And Paul says in verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. In other words, Paul says this, and the Greek's very interesting here. The Greek says he literally threw away his life. That's what it says. Like a gambler throwing dice. He says he didn't regard his life as precious to himself. He literally worked himself to death for you in Philippi, for me in Rome. Now, I was reading one of the church traditions today, and according to the church tradition, this man, Epaphroditus, was famous in the early church. You know what he was famous for? He was famous for going to places that nobody else would go. He was famous for going to places where people were filled with disease. People were filled with filth and deprivation. And Epaphroditus went to the worst places in society. He went to the worst people in society. And he went there to share the gospel with them and do good unto them. And that's why he was nigh unto death. That's why he almost died. He worked himself to death. Put himself in dangerous places. Put himself in disease-ridden places. And Paul says he got very close to death. Nigh unto death. He was so sick from working himself to death for others. And Paul says God had mercy on him. Only God spared him. He says, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow. I would have been heartbroken, Paul says, if this man had been taken away from me. And I like this guy, Epaphroditus. He's a man who put his life on the line for others. Some of you have heard the statement by Jim Elliot, the man who was martyred in South America in the early part of the 20th century. He went to the Indian tribes, the lost tribes or the Indian tribes in the middle of the Amazon. And he went there to make contact with them, to share the gospel with them. And he was killed along with his three companions, martyred, cut down with the axes and the spears of the Ankua Indians. And of course, years later, many of those Indians who actually murdered him were converted and became part of a church there in South America. But that's a different story. But before he died, Jim Elliot made this great statement about life. Listen to what he said. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Isn't that right? He is no fool who gives his life. He's really saying this. You give your life what he cannot keep. You can't keep your life anyway. You can't keep yourself alive. Jim Elliot says, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Eternal life. Eternal blessing. Eternal reward. And you and I have to weigh up life the same way, like Jim Elliot weighed it up, like Epaphroditus weighed it up, and say, my life is not my own. I'm here to serve others. I'm here to give to others. I'm here to do what I can for others. And I was reading this today, and I was thinking to myself, you know, if you were the Apostle Paul, who would you not want to lose from your friends in Rome at this time? Remember, he's in prison. Remember, he's suffering. The two people you would not want to lose would be what? Timothy and Epaphroditus. Those would be the two closest friends, the most reliable friends. Yet remember what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, when he spoke of his own attitude to the saints in verse 17. He says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul says, if I'm called by God to sacrifice some more, and he had sacrificed an awful lot already, but if God calls me to do some more for the saints at Philippi, Paul says, I rejoice that I can do that. That's my joy. Well, here's going to be the test. Will you sacrifice Timothy and Epaphroditus, your two closest friends, your two most reliable companions, the two that are ministering to the needs of Paul personally? What does Paul do? He says, I'm going to send them to you. I'm going to send them on this journey over 1,000 miles from Rome to Philippi in order that they can be a blessing to the saints at Philippi. What a sacrifice. What a heart Paul has for others. Now, when they get there, Paul says, verse 29, when you meet Epaphroditus, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness. Rejoice. He says, be glad when you see this man come through the door. And he says, and hold such or honor such in reputation. When you meet a man like Epaphroditus, that's pure gold in character. And Paul says, value him. Treat him with the highest honor. Treat him with gladness. Rejoice and say, thank God, this is a gift that God has sent to us. This man, Epaphroditus. This man, Timothy. And I say the same to you. Value those in your life who have character like Timothy and Epaphroditus. Those are the ones that you want to be close to. Those are the ones that you want to honor. Those are the ones you want to rejoice and say, thank God, sister so-and-so's here. Thank God, brother so-and-so's here. Thank God when this difficulty has come, I know that they can be trusted. I know they'll pray for me. I know they'll serve me. I know they'll help. I know they'll encourage. I know they won't talk bad against me. I know they won't gossip about me. I know they'll pray for me. And I say the same. Look for characters like that. Paul sacrificed, and what a sacrifice it was, by sending to Philippi the very best men he had. That's interesting, isn't it? The very best that Paul had. You know what my prayer for our church is? That it will be full of Timothys and Epaphroditus. That it will be full of female and male Timothy Epaphroditus. Men and women who love not their own life, but love the lives of others. Men and women who are not self-serving, but other-serving. And if your church had people like that, what a blessing it would be. Do you know what F.B. Meyer said of the Apostle Paul in Rome? He made this great statement. He says, when Epaphroditus and Timothy were with the Apostle Paul in Rome, despite the fact that he's in prison, despite that he's surrounded by heathen, paganism and immorality and malice and envy and bitterness from all the other prisoners, he says the Apostle Paul lived in the very atmosphere of love. I like that. He lived in an atmosphere of love, because he had Timothy and he had Epaphroditus with him. And he says, in the midst of that dark spot of heathenism in the city of Rome, F.B. Meyer says, there was one beautiful spot of heavenly life. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't it be wonderful in the midst of all the darkness of Singapore that your home could be described as a place of heaven on earth? That your office, that your little cubicle that you work within, that others in the office would say, everything in this place is so depressing and so stressful and so full of trouble, but there's a person there and there's a little corner of this office and it's just bathed in heavenly life, in heavenly light. Now, isn't it wonderful for us as a church, with all the darkness and all the sin and all the discouragement and all the sadness outside the door of this church, that this two rooms out of all this big shopping mall, that people would know here is a different place. Here is a place that's bathed in heavenly light. And they would be attracted to come here because they say, ah, there's something different there. There's different type of people. They have different attitudes, different values. They have a different reaction when they see people. They're there to serve others. And that's what the Apostle Paul did with his life. And that's why he loved Timothy. And he loved Epaphroditus. And I say this to you, if you can't be an Apostle Paul, who could be? Be a Timothy. Isn't that right? Be an Epaphroditus. Be a blessing to others. That you would have the same reputation as men like that. And you know, there were many other individuals who lived in the city of Rome. But these two individuals, their name echoes down the centuries because what? They lived for others. Timothy and Epaphroditus. That's a name. That's a reputation you and I want to have. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for this epistle to the Philippians, an epistle of love, an epistle that reveals so much about the Apostle Paul, his choice of friends, the character of his friends, the ministry of his friends. And Lord, we pray that we would have friends like that, that you would raise up all around us messengers of love, like Timothy, like Epaphroditus. We pray that this church would be a haven of heavenly light and love to the world around us. We pray that our homes would be. We pray that our lives would be. We pray that our families would be. We pray for those in the workplace as they go out tomorrow morning, that their little cubicle, their little area of service would be one that's bathed in the love of Christ. Help us, Lord, to be such people wherever you place us. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.